He's arisen? One more time. He's arisen? Are we only supposed to do that on Easter Sunday? No, we can do that today, right? It was a great... Okay, stand with me. Here we go. So we're going to have some fun this morning. We're going to have to put on our seatbelts this morning because what Jesus wants to say to us in this room is incredibly practical and in times incredibly difficult, but it all stems from Easter. Check this out. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Says, then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive my brother? Right? Seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but mathematics, 70 times 7. Or this one, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, which says, let all bitterness, are you a bitter person today? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven. Yeah. Father, we pray that you would open our eyes this morning. Jesus, it's the Sunday right after Easter. Lord, what would you want to say to us the second Sunday after Easter? We pray, Lord God, that this morning as we gather and we assemble as your people, as your disciples, as your students, that Lord, you would speak, the great rabbi, teach us this morning. Open our eyes that we might see you this morning, and I pray that you would touch our ears, that we would hear the teachings of Jesus. And we ask, Lord, I have to pray this one for a filling, for a coming of your Spirit upon all our hearts, that as we process Easter, Resurrection Sunday, Passion Week, and all that it means, and what it means to us, practically speaking, we ask for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to guide us into our lives today because of these realities. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and all those who love Jesus would say, amen, and you may be seated. And so we're still in kind of the afterglow of last Sunday was Easter Sunday. Did you guys know that? Did you hear the rumor? It was a great Sunday. It was so much fun to do the baptisms, to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. That Good Friday service was just awesome. Big again shout out to all those that missed our Easter service because they were back there serving our kids. They were back there doing Easter egg hunts and telling the kids about Jesus and. The kids had a killer time last Sunday, and man, big shout out to everybody who was like doing Levi Sunday and cleaning up the church and kind of getting ready. It was a special Sunday last Sunday, and especially it was for a lot of us that are just coming back from Israel. It was nice to be back and to be here for Resurrection Sunday. By the way, Pastor Jonathan landed Sunday night. He made it, and he's back, and now he's in Canada because he's a beast, but... It was a good service. It was a great service. People, the resurrection of Jesus is huge. Jesus coming up out of the grave is huge. And it changes everything. What he did during that Passion Week and him coming up out of the grave, it just signifies who he is and what he is. And what that then means to you and me is off the charts. It's huge. And it's kind of fun because of Jesus, because of the resurrection of Jesus, because of what Jesus did during that week, so many things have been applied to our lives because of the Messiah. That when you open your Bible, there's these beautiful words in this Bible that speak of things that have happened to your life because of Jesus. These words like atonement. Have you ever, isn't that a beautiful word? Atonement. right? Check this out. He, 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for whose sins? Yeah, yours, mine, right? And not only for ours, but for the whole world. It's like God the Father satisfied in what Jesus did on the cross. God is, the Father is satisfied for the payment, for what Christ has done. Jesus takes wrath upon Himself so you don't have to. Did you know that? That's the cross. Jesus took the wrath that was due us. He atoned for us. It's a beautiful word. It's a beautiful word. These words that are spoken of in the Bible because of what Jesus has done in the resurrection of Christ. Here's another one. It's a beautiful word. Redemption. Did you know that you're redeemed? Atoned for. You're redeemed. It's a beautiful word. Romans 3:24 says, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption, which is in Christ Jesus. This beautiful word redemption, which means redeemed, right? To purchase back. Jesus has purchased you back, right? He's bought you out of slavery and into His marvelous kingdom. He's redeemed you. He's paid for you. Isn't that a beautiful word? Is that a beautiful word? These are the words that come from because of Easter. Atonement, redeemed. Here's one, justified, right? Romans chapter 5:1, therefore having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a legal term. We've been justified. It's like we've never committed any trespass. Can you think about that? Not guilty. You're not guilty. Really? You? It's like you've never committed any sin in the eyes of God. Have you stirred these words? These are beautiful words, people. Not guilty. Christ paid your debt. It's like you've never done it. Isn't that a beautiful word? These are good words, people. Atonement, redemption, justification. Beautiful words. How about reconciled? Isn't reconciliation a beautiful word? Is that a beautiful word in our world today, to be reconciled? Right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is anyone in here in Christ? Have you accepted? Then you're in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creature. The old things are gone. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Messiah, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Jesus, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, not counting their sins against them. That's my favorite verse. I don't want any of my sins counted against me. He's not counting them, because it's like you've never done it, right? And He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We've been reconciled. We've been restored. We've been back into relationship, the Creator and the creation and the separation, yet now we've been reconciled in relationship. Beautiful word, isn't it though? Aren't these people, it's the second Sunday after Easter, right? And Easter Sunday was awesome, and we celebrate the coming up of Jesus out of the grave and the hope that it brings, and yet all these things, because of that, all this stuff, the Bible says there's all these things that have now been given to us because of Jesus. It's like Resurrection Sunday should never be forgotten, and we should be living from it every day, right? Forgiven. God forgives you through His Son. Ephesians 1:17 says, in him we have redemption. That's a beautiful word, right? Through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. The forgiveness of our sins according to his grace. You and I are forgiven. Is forgiveness important in relationships? Anybody married in here? Anyone have kids? I mean, anyone have a neighbor? Is forgiveness radically important in our relationships with other beings? Huge, right? Well, the biggest forgiveness is between us and God, right? And see, people, these are beautiful words. These are glorious words. If you open your Bible and you start reading, the Bible speaks so much because of what happened on Easter Sunday. All these things have been imputed and given to you. And they're beautiful words. People in seminaries swim in the pools of these truths. We'll study for semesters what these words mean. These glorious words. Okay, come on. Is Jesus awesome? He is, isn't he? Are these just theoretical? Are these just theological, or are they radically practical? Have you thought about that? I've been sharing with you that my brother, I've been trying to share Jesus. I've shared Christ with my brother for 30 years. And the best thing that happened during COVID is my brother accepted Jesus right after 30 some years. Praise the Lord. And it's so weird. And it's just been awesome to watch and see what's happened to my 3-year older brother, because all of a sudden, I mean, he's praying and he's telling me he loves me. I'm getting these text messages. Hey, love you. I'm like, Cinda. I told this story. I mean, like last summer, my dad and I went up to, and Kenny, my brother, takes us out to dinner. He goes, let me pray. And I'm like, okay. And he starts praying this most beautiful prayer with his, and at one moment I opened my eyes and I looked over at my dad, and my dad's looking over at me, and my dad's just doing this. Can't believe it, right? My brother's going through a brutal divorce, and it's always the path of the broken. I'm convinced that for people to really have an impact with Jesus, it's always as we're broken. And my brother, and he's talking about, I'm really struggling. I need to forgive my, he's in the midst, right? They're the courts and all that. And he's like, I know I'm supposed to forgive her. And I'm like, to even hear him say that word blows my mind. He knows, you know, and hey, well, brother, once you get past all this and maybe let the dust settle, you know, he knows that he needs to do something, right? See, these are not theoretical. God has forgiven you. What does Jesus say? Because all this is true. How does this practically play out in our lives? Like the topic of forgiveness, for example. Should you forgive somebody who hurts you? Should you forgive somebody who sins against you? Should you forgive somebody who's been mean to you, cruel to you, slanders you, steals from you, hits you, punches you, hurts you? Should you forgive them? How often should you forgive them? Right? Beautiful. I mean, so enter with Peter, the foul-mouthed fisherman who becomes a follower of Jesus, right? And one day he's walking with Jesus and he's like, Jesus, you are so off the charts. And he asks, I mean, this was just the topic one day around Northern Galilee. And he says, Jesus, how often should I forgive somebody who sins against me? So the rabbis of the day said 3 times, and Jesus, being more radical than any rabbi of the day, he goes, 7, right? Which was a compliment. Matthew 18:21-22, then Peter came and said to him, Lord, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but 70 times 7. Can you see the look on Peter's face? Shocked, stunned, right? Stunned. 490 times? And it's beautiful because this is, I love my Jesus. Jesus just doesn't answer this. Jesus then does what he does best. Jesus just tells Peter a story. He says, Peter, you've asked a good question, Peter. And he answers it, and then he says, let me tell you a story about forgiveness. Do you like good stories? Did you know that Jesus is the greatest storyteller? The words, when Jesus told a story, they call it a parable, right? A heavenly truth placed in an earthly setting so we could all understand it, right? So Jesus begins telling Peter a parable. Do you want to hear a story from Jesus this morning about this topic? Listen to this. Matthew 18, 23 through 27, Jesus begins speaking to Peter. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have any means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and his children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. But the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. Right? Jesus says, okay, Peter, good question. Let me tell you a story. There's this king, and this king had a servant who owed him a lot of money. And how much money? According in the day in which Jesus lived, Herod the Great was the king when Jesus was born. The Roman historian says that Herod the Great raked in 900 talents of gold in taxes when Jesus was born. 900 talents of gold. And now Jesus says, let me tell you this story. There's this king that was owed 10,000 talents of gold. It's off the charts. When Jesus tells this story, people are going, what? Is there that much money in the world? Right? And yet this guy says, I'll pay you, which is impossible. And he begs. It's a beautiful story, right? And then what happens? The king says, I forgive you. The guilty man was liberated, right? And the innocent person, who's the king, right, pays the debt. And is that true? He crossed off 10,000 talents of gold from his accounts. Who paid? The king did. The innocent man is the king. And he's shown mercy and grace. Now, is that a good story, anyone? Nice story. Is that the end of the story? So Jesus goes on, right? Matthew 18, 28 through 30. But the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him. Can you picture this? Saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and begged and pleaded with him, saying, have patience with me, I will repay you. But he was unwilling. This guy was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back all that he owed him. So Jesus now gives the second part of the story, right? The forgiven man runs into a person who owes him 500 times less than what he was forgiven for. Think about that word. This man owed him 500 times less than what he was forgiven for. And he takes this guy by the throat, strangles this guy, demanding his money. He asks for forgiveness and he was unwilling to give it. Throws him into prison. Is that right? Is this the end of the story? There's a third part. So can you imagine Peter going, I have a question. Now all of a sudden I'm hearing a story. But Jesus is bringing home a story to drive home a point. Matthew 18, 31 through 35, let us listen to, this is the teachings of Jesus, right? He says, so when his fellow slaves saw what happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then he summoned him. His Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? and his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back all that was owed him. Peter, my heavenly Father will also do the same to you. If each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. In Jesus' story, who's the king? Right? God the Father, right? King, the king. In the story, who's the servant? Peter? In the story, who are you? Are you forgiven? Are you forgiven? What day is today? It's the Sunday after. Are you forgiven? How much have you been forgiven by the Father in heaven? Have you ever really thought about this? How big is your guilt box before a holy God? 500 times. I mean, this is a good topic, right? Are you a forgiven person? Answer? Are you a forgiving person? What would your neighbor say? Or your cousin, your wife, your husband, your ex-husband, your ex-wife, your boss? Are you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how forgiving are you as a human being? And is this important? Isn't this deep? Pastor Frank, you're getting a little touchy. You're getting a little personal, aren't you? Well, yeah, I am. Take notes with me this morning. You want to take notes with me this morning? Write this down. You ready? Forgiven people are expected to forgive others according to the kingdom of heaven. Forgiven people are expected to forgive others. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom what? Thy will be on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our give us our daily bread and what? And forgive us our debtors or our trespasses. Forgive those. Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who forgiven people are expected to, right? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. Ephesians 4:31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other. Why? Just as God in Christ Jesus has wiped out your debt. Note number 2 this morning. The source of our power to forgive is rooted in God's forgiveness towards us. And that's what you've got to swim in this pool a long time to really let this soak in. The source of our power to forgive is rooted in God's forgiveness towards us. And this is where Easter, Passion Week, Holy Week becomes radically practical. They're no longer theoretical or theological concepts. These become incredibly practical to the follower of Jesus, to the one who's been touched by Jesus, as he is our teacher and he speaks to us as we journey through life. Why is it so important to God that you forgive? Have you ever thought about this? Why is that so important? In John 8, 31 and 32, I love this. It says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus says, if you hold to my teachings, you're really my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Right? It's freedom. Freedom. Or John 8, 36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free. Freedom. Freedom. See, here's what I've learned, and it's, tell me if I'm wrong. People who learn to be forgiven by God, and in the time learn how to make that happen out in a practical way in their lives, people who've learned how to forgive other people are free. See, forgiveness is essential to our own personal freedom. Freedom in our relationships with God, it's essential that forgiveness takes place. Freedom in our relationship with ourselves is so critical. Have you forgiven you, right? And as you begin to work with other human beings on planet Earth and learning how to not just engage with them, but to learn how to forgive them, we become freed from experiences and from hurtful things. Freedom is absolutely critical. Forgiveness is absolutely critical to your freedom in Christ. Does that make sense? See, when we as disciples of Jesus begin following Jesus and He walks us through this, there's things that become radically freeing in life. And so as a young disciple of Jesus, I'm in my early 20s, and I find myself studying in East Jerusalem at the place called the Jerusalem Center for Biblical Studies. And here's this young kid who's studying in the Holy Land, is a young follower of Jesus. And I end up, as I'm there studying, I meet this guy who is 62 years old, and his name is Abe. And he becomes my roommate. And he's from America, just like me. And Abe keeps telling me, he says, man, I wish I would have figured this out when I was your age. He says, Frank, when you see me, what do you see? I said, well, I see someone searching for Jesus. He says, you're looking at a very wealthy man. He says, I've made a lot of money. I have gone through 3 marriages. All my kids hate me. I was a person that was so wrapped up in work that I never went to church. After my third wife left me, somebody invited me to church. I began hearing about Jesus. And he says, and I've accepted Christ. And he said, you know, when I was a little boy, my father told me that I would never amount to anything. He says, and I've been through a lot of therapy, Frank. I'm listening. He said, when I was a young man, I resolved in my heart that I will prove my father wrong. And I was even more successful than my father. And he says, I almost in my deepest mind, in my hatred toward my dad, it drove me to be all consuming and doing something. He says, my father's been dead for 35 years, but I just kept going and going and going and going. He says, I'm an older man now, trying to figure out Jesus. He says, I wish I would have known this when I was your age. And I just listened. When you don't forgive somebody, who does it hurt? Have you figured that out? Why is Jesus so adamant that we are to forgive other people? Because he's so committed to you being a person that's been set free. And here's the problem, man. The past is the past. Can you go back and fix the past, anyone? Could this guy go back? His dad's been dead for 20-some years. He just kept going in his bitterness, his hate, and he put on his family the altar of proving his dad wrong, marriages and children. He caused destruction, people. Forgiveness. If you don't forgive, who does it affect? Who does it hurt? It affects you and the people who have to live with you. Do I hear an amen? How many marriages have been destroyed? Families divided, friendships ruined, all because of an unforgiving spirit. Even amongst the followers of Jesus. And this is what grieves the Spirit of God. See, here's the deal. Is forgiveness a suggestion from Jesus or is it a commandment? He's not saying you might want to consider this. He's saying you will, Peter. And if you don't do this from your heart, Peter, it's important that you, my Father will treat... Have you noticed that if you don't forgive other people, according to Jesus, God the Father is opposed to you? God's opposed to you. On this matter. Why? Because He wants you to be free. There's a bunch of my kids down there, bitter, hatred, full of spite. That's not what the Father wants. He wants His kids to be set free. And freedom, forgiveness is essential to freedom. And I know you're sitting here and you're going, you know, Pastor Frank, you have no idea what's happened to me. That's easy for you to say up there. Pastor Frank, you've never been sexually molested. Pastor Frank, you've never been raped. Pastor Frank, I don't deny that you've not been hurt. I'm just telling all of us in this room that God's devised a way to stop the pain. Pain. It's the second Sunday after Easter. Oh, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and all that it means, these beautiful words. But they're not just theoretical, they're radically practical. Because all this pours into our lives when you begin following and hearing Jesus. Like for the topic of forgiveness, Jesus commands you to forgive. He commands you to forgive other people. Is this difficult? You bet it is. You bet it is. What is not forgiveness? What is forgiveness? Have you ever thought about this? What is forgiveness and what is not forgiveness? Can take notes of me this morning. You ready? Forgiveness is not forgetting. Is it? Forgive and forget. Well, if I don't forget, does that mean I haven't forgiven? Forgive. It's not forgetting, okay? It may be a byproduct, but it's never a means to. Let me say that again. It may be a byproduct, but it's never a means to. Did God forget your sin? Is God all-knowing? He is, isn't He? He's called omniscient. It means He knows everything. Has God forgotten your sin? He just chooses to remember it no more. He somehow says it's not there. It's a volition of the Almighty. God doesn't forget anything. He's God. And yet He says... It'll never be brought up again. Your sins will never be counted against you. I mean, hello, did you guys love Jesus? What is... Forgiveness is not forgetting. You might still remember, but you hope in time you might come to a place of going, I don't even remember what that was. Hallelujah, right? I always tell this story. And for all the accountants in here, I'm sorry. But Pastor Frank does premarital counseling... I always tell people don't marry an accountant. Because, and Pastor Frank loves premarital counseling. And premarital counseling, it's all theoretical. They're getting married. They're looking in each other's eyes. They're so excited. I can't wait to be married. And we're trying to prepare them for this. Postmarital counseling is when I pass it off to Pastor Vince or Pastor Graham. Because they sit in the room. They begin arguing. He did that. She did this. She did this. He did that. He did. And it's like, I remember one time hearing the husband saying, I told you I'm sorry. It was 7 years ago, and she won't let it go. 7 years ago, and I'm going, dude, you're an accountant. How are we going to get that off your books? Somehow I've got to get you to see the 500 times debt that you've been forgiven for, so then you would please let your husband off the hook. It's not forgetting. But God just chooses to remember it no more. When you forgive somebody, say, I'm not bringing that up again. That's the past. It's not, I forgive, right? It's not forgetting. It's not tolerating sin. And I think this is the hardest one. If I forgive this person, it's like I'm letting them off the hook, right? Don't you, it's that way. Don't you think it's like that way? I think a lot of times I'm like, I will never forgive this individual, because if I do, it's like I'm saying what they did was okay. True story, and I love this story. George and Ziggy, my friends from Canada, when I went to college, George and Ziggy, how's Ziggy for a name? Boy, they love Canada, man. They had their Canadian flags in their dorm room, and my friend Brad, Ziggy wanted to borrow Brad's car, and Brad let him borrow his car, and I guess in Canada, Ziggy pulled in front of somebody, and Ziggy got T-boned in Brad's car. It was totally Ziggy's fault, and Ziggy, life happens. Brad gets a new car with insurance, and do you know what Ziggy asked my friend Brad? He said, can I borrow your car? And Brad said, what would you say? And Ziggy said, why? Haven't you forgiven me? Anyone? No, man, I've forgiven you. I just don't trust you. Huge difference. I can forgive. Does God command you to trust people? Answer? No. No, man, trust is earned. Hey, man, Ziggy, you're not driving my car. You know, I don't trust you. I forgive you. I'm working on it. That was my favorite car, you know, blah, blah, blah. But forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not tolerating sin. Forgiveness is not you have to have revengeful repayment. I'll forgive him once I let him have it. Right? Have you heard the vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay? Who repays? God does, right? If you have to pay back somebody in order to forgive them, you're in a bad position. Am I right? For example, when I lived in Irvine, I had a basketball hoop out in front of my house, and we'd go out there and play with the kids. And one day, I went out and someone stole my basketball hoop. I still remember this. What's my options? What am I going to do? Am I going to drive around in my car, driving, looking for that's my hoop. What am I going to do, people? And once I get it all, then I gotta let it go, don't you? It's not revengeful repayment. People, here's the deal, and I've learned this. It's helped me greatly in forgiving other people. Just because I let someone off my hook doesn't mean that God's letting them off his hook. Once I learned that, I could be like, okay, Lord, I'm going to forgive this person who radically hurt me, sinned against me, wronged me, and you've forgiven me 500 times. I choose to obey Jesus. And Lord, when we get to heaven, I want you to show me where he is. Who's the guy that took my basketball? Where is he, Lord? You get him, right? Right? But I got to you let it go. I want to sleep at night. I'm not... People, what is and isn't God command you to forgive? Why? Because he's so committed to your freedom in Christ. And yet bitter, angry, upset individuals are a terrible witness. It's just a bad way to go through life. Have you met them? They're all over the place. Christians are people that are forgiven people, and Jesus teaches us we need to forgive other people. Let it go. And just because you're letting it go doesn't mean it's off God's hook. God will deal with them. He will deal with all of us, right? What is forgiveness? Here's the best definition I've got. I want you to write this one down. What is forgiveness? Note number 6. Forgiveness is resolving. That takes a journey. Forgiveness is resolving to live with the consequences of another's sin and placing it in the righteous just hands of God. Forgiveness is resolving to live with the consequences. Because they did this to me, I live in consequences. And I resolve to live with these consequences of another person that has sinned against me. And what do I do with this? I'm placing it in the hands of God. Lord, I'm going to let you deal with it. It happened. It's an event. It was wrong. And in the journey, I choose to forgive. How do you do that? This is what you have a homework assignment coming off of today. And I feel this is, for all of us that are coming out of Easter, it's a good time for all of us to just take a good look in the mirror and say, God, is there any wicked way within me? Lord, is there anybody in my life that still has power over my life because of stuff that happened so long ago? I want to release them, and I choose to forgive whatever it is they've done to me. And you pray and you ask God, is there anybody in my life that I when I bring up their name, my face changes. I hate them. Who are they, Lord? You pray, and if the Holy Spirit bring someone to your mind, write it down. And I usually write down what is it that they did, right? And you face it. It's okay. So I have a prayer I want to read to you. And the first time I read this prayer, I was absolutely shocked that this thing even is in the Bible. There's this wonderful man named King David, and King David is known as a man after God's own heart. And one day, King David had somebody who had sinned against him, and he entered into prayer. It's found in Psalm 109, and here it is. My God, whom I praise, do not remain silent. For people who are wicked and deceitful have opened their mouths against me. They have spoken against me with lying tongues. With words of hatred, they surround me. They attack me without cause. In return for my friendship, they accuse me. But look at this, but I'm in prayer. What's his prayer? But I'm a man of prayer. They repay me evil for good and hatred for my friendship. Appoint someone evil to oppose my enemy. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Let an accuser stand at his right hand, and when he's tried, let him be found guilty. Have you ever prayed that prayer? And may his prayers condemn him. Have you ever prayed for a person like this? May his days be few. May another take his place of leadership. May his children be fatherless. And his wife a widow. You ever prayed this prayer? May his children be wandering beggars. You prayed this one? May they be driven from their ruined homes. May a creditor seize all that he has. May strangers plunder the fruits of his labor. May no one extend kindness to him or take pity on his fatherless children. Have you ever prayed this prayer? May his descendants be cut off and their names blotted out from the next generation. May the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, not forgiven, right? May the sins of his mother never be blotted out, and may their sins always remain before the Lord, that he may blot out their names from earth. You ever prayed that prayer? What's that doing in the Bible? Prayed after a man after God's own heart. I remember reading that going, dude, this is the, and when you think about it, King David had such a relationship with God that he could pour out his heart in this matter. He had such an open... God is such a safe place with King David that he could go before King David and be absolutely raw and scream and cry and be angry and upset, and God's there going, yep, bring it. And David just unleashes. He's dealing with this person has sinned against him, and David is so angry. When you're so angry, who do you go to? Why not your Father who is in heaven? How holy is His name? Why not tell Him how you feel and what's going on and what happened and what's taking place? Man, a few years ago we had a ministry here called Divorce Care. It was a place where people would come that are going through divorce. And I remember sitting in there one day, and there was this lady with three kids talking about her husband who left her for his secretary at the office and how she is here with these kids. And at one point she says, I just want to just smash his car. She was so angry. I just want to smash his car. Go ahead. I don't know. Like, I think it was awesome that she was here journeying through what's happening in her life. Is it okay to be angry, people? It's totally okay to be angry. It's okay. When people hurt you and wound you, it's okay to go, this stinks. But you know what's so cool about Psalm 109 is that King David could speak a prayer like this in his absolute hurt and pain and sorrow, and God was willing to just vent and let it out, but God never let King David stay there. You can't stay there. You can't live here. You cannot live this. But I think in order for us to get to the other side, we have to go through this. And maybe there are people that have your name. You're the one they're praying this towards. You're the one that's hurt them. People that stay here are bitter. They're in bondage. They're angry, spiteful, mean people. I think you have to go through stuff like this in order to get to that place of just saying, okay, Lord, now what? How many times should I forgive this person? Seven? Since I've been a follower of Jesus, I've seen the most amazing things ever take place as a follower of Jesus. So when my wife and I were getting married, this beautiful sister of ours sang a song at our wedding, and she was actually pregnant with her second child. And we just loved this person. And a few years later, this individual's husband had an affair with one of her best friends. Their marriage was over. She went through stuff, and there's a true story that about 4 or 5 months after all this had unfolded, she was at a church one day, a worship service, and they were taking communion, and she was sitting there, and she noticed the person that had an affair with her husband come in the church. And this was a communion service. And she went up to the person and had her come and sit next to her. And they both went down together and took communion together. That's not of this realm, is it? That is stuff that comes from an empty tomb in Jerusalem. I still am friends with this individual, and she is completely free from all the stuff that happened in those days. And actually, it's amazing to see how God works in people's lives. At some point, you can be angry and upset, but you can't live there. Here's a C.S. Lewis quote, and I like this one. To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in... This is of a different realm, is not? You make a list of people. Is there anybody that you need to forgive? Is there anybody this is radically practical. Last Sunday was Easter. It was awesome. So what does that mean? It means everything. Is there anybody in your life that you need to forgive? I tell people make a list. Do you want to know who the hardest person that I have a problem forgiving is? Me. Sometimes when I make a list, I'm like looking at me half the time. Frank, have you forgiven Frank? The person I'm so upset with most of the time is me. I actually, the Lord chastised me once because he said, you know, Frank, I'm the king and I've forgiven you. And who do you think you are that you won't forgive you? Are you greater than me? Sorry, Lord, right? Are you freed? Are you free? Do you understand Jesus' teaching on forgiveness? See, the cross is where we receive forgiveness and where we learn to forgive other people. Even Jesus from the cross said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. See, if you're here today and you're bitter and angry and spiteful, a person of unforgiveness, somebody that slanders other people, it's down deep inside. There's something wrong. And down deep, there's something deep inside of you that you need to go walk with Jesus. You need to go to the beach today and go for a long walk, and you need to tell Jesus about your mom, your dad, your brother, your first husband, your first wife, whatever it is. And I hate, okay, good. And at some point, Jesus is going to say, I need you to forgive that person by name and what they did. As I have forgiven you, I command you to let it go. Who is that? He commands you, forgive. He commands you, let it go. Let me deal with it. I'm God. Who is it? Is it you? Is it someone else? Is it someone from 35 years ago? Or 5 months ago? On your notes, you have a homework assignment. Steps to forgiveness are right there. And I want you to work through them this week. I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit, as I've been given so much, is there anybody I have not returned this? And I want you to, and by the way, at the very end, it says if you need help from the pastors, call us and we'll help you work through this. Is this a good sermon to hear the second Sunday after Easter? Answer? Darn right it is. There's people called CEOs. Have you heard of them? Christmas and Easter only. They come for Christmas and Easter only. It's not only. Jesus is every day the Lord of our lives. All that has happened to us through Him is off the charts. And He is radically practical in how you and I live each and every moment that we exist. All that happened from Christ in the empty tomb in Jerusalem, all that comes from the cross is imputed into your life and you are to be changed. Beautiful words. Did you know that you've been atoned for, that you've been redeemed, that you've been justified, that you've been forgiven? I mean, you've been reconciled. All this is awesome. And now you live it out in how you deal with yourself and other people. And this is what being a disciple of Jesus is all about. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room today. Lord, I ask God for the ministry of your Holy Spirit to just work powerfully upon us this morning. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be the people that you've called us to be and to do the things that you've asked us to do. Lord, we trust you. Even when people were mean and cruel to us, we trust you in what you tell us what to do with circumstances and events of the past. We pray, Lord God, for your freedom to fall upon our lives as we obey the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, I pray that you would speak strongly into our hearts this morning. And God, we pray that we would be who you want us to be. People that are free. People that are free. Help us, Lord, to get rid of all bitterness and all wrath, our anger, our slander, our plans of getting back. I pray, Lord, that you would somehow teach us to be kind to one another. Somehow, Jesus, you've got to teach us how to forgive each other, just like you forgave us. Help us, Jesus, in this matter. If we don't learn this, our lives will be very different as we enter eternity. If we can get this, Lord, we will be changed. Help us, Jesus, we pray. There's none but Jesus. Would you stand as we close with this song? Crucified to set us free. Let's sing this together.